All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining another episode of Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. And I am so excited that we have another episode with another great guest. And our guest today is Nakisha James. And we're going to be talking to Nakisha about her book, her very first book that she wrote. But we're also going to be talking about domestic violence. And so on my screen here, just to get our blood going and flowing, we're talking about domestic violence. So October is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And on the screen, we have the purple ribbon. And then also under that, we have the family, you know, torn apart. And we all know what domestic violence can do to families. And then here, under here is one interesting statistic that I saw. 20 is the age. About a third of women become victims of dating violence. So that's very interesting to see that. So we want to be keeping an eye on our younger who are dating and just asking if they are experiencing anything like that. If you see some telltale signs or, you know, just letting them know you're there for them. So on the left side, if you all can see that, these are some things. I got this from Girl Trek. And you can go to their website and they have some things on here about disrespectfulness or unsafe environments that you could see that would be disrespectful or unsafe. So you have your partner gets extremely jealous and accuses you of cheating. Your partner yells at you, treats you like a child. If you are getting chastised, like with a belt or things like that, as if you are a child, criticizes your family and friends. Coerces you into sex, puts you down, calls you names, decides if you should use birth control or not, decides what you can and cannot wear, questions you about your social media accounts, controls the money in the relationship, threatens to cheat on you, threatens to harm you or your family, jeopardizes your job or education, threatens to take your kids away from you. So, these are some things that we want to talk about, open discussions up. And then also on the right, know the eight before it's too late. Criticism, calling you names, jealousy, demanding to know private details of your life, erratic behavior, sabotage, making you miss work or school, control, telling you how to dress or behave, blame, making you feel guilty, isolation, and making you spend time with them, anger, overreacting to issues, outbursts. So those are some of the red flags about domestic violence. Okay. We're going to jump right into it. So I am so honored to have with us guest speaker Nakisha James. She is an author, a certified life coach, public speaker, soul food caterer. And I got to pause right there because I went to Nakisha's house a long time ago, a couple of years now, right? And Nakisha was making the macaroni and cheese, the mac and cheese. I had never seen it made like that before. I did steal her recipe. So thank you, Nakisha. She is also a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and she is a single mom of four. Nakisha, I see a typo. Sorry, Nakisha. She has been a guest on Rick Party's Notebook Show, and she's conducted book signings, catered venues, and so much more. Nakisha is available for your next event, and you can contact her on Instagram at Pained for Purpose, and that's what her logo looks like right there. So, and these are her four beautiful children. Here's a copy of her book. And that was her first book. And she has five or six more since then. Here's the covers of them. And you can find her on Amazon. And her books can be found there as well. Also on Kindle Unlimited. So with no further ado, let's give some clapping hands in the chat for Nakisha James. Welcome, Nakisha. We are happy to have you.
Thank you.
Just like I stated, here are all of her books. Isn't she awesome? You all see my shirt? She is strong. She is fierce. And that represents all of us. But right now, We are going to give it up for Nakisha. She has What I Gained Through My Pain, 50 Quotes, Positive Thinking for a Great Life and a Great Life, 50 Quotes, Affirmations for Single Moms, 50 Quotes, Affirmations for Married Couples, Affirmations for Teen Girls, What I Gained Through My Pain, and Try I Triumph, a Workbook Journal. All right. Yeah. And so, Nakisha, we're going to give you the stage right now. But what we're going to do first, before we jump into all of your business, we just want you to take a minute to tell us about your where you grew up, born and raised, your career, personal hobbies and leisure, and then we'll jump into all your business. But right now, just to give us a little background about yourself.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for contacting me and allowing me to come here and speak to all of your guests and audiences here. So I'm very honored. Thank you, Miss Carla. I'm Nakisha James. I'm just a hometown girl, born and raised in Gary, Indiana. Very small town where everybody knows everybody. Crying event happened when I was 15 years old. I actually lost my mom. She passed away from a brain aneurysm when I was 15 years old. My mom and dad were divorced.
Well, we're gonna get into that.
We
Don't
are.
Go there yet.
We're, I just I want to give a little taste to it, a little seasoning, right? but that transitioned me and my brother from living in Gary, Indiana to Chicago. So I have roots in Illinois and roots, my foundation is in Gary, Indiana. Then fast forward, moving on to adulthood, I now live in Arizona and I have four children, two adorable girls, 19 and 16, and two crazy little boys who are 7 and 5. I know, 19 and 5. Pray for me. I got a daughter in college.
To do all of this.
I got a daughter in college and I got a baby in kindergarten. I don't know, just Jesus.
Give it up, guys. Give it up. Give it up.
Wow. But some of the things I love to do, obviously, I love to write. I've written 6, 7 books now. I can't even keep count. 6, 7 books, and I have about 20 more going on up here. I just got to find time to write them. I love to cook, as Carla said. I don't call myself a chef. I don't believe I'm a chef, but I'm a soulful cook because I cook soul food for your soul. So that's what I call myself, a soulful cook. Public speaking, I am a certified life coach. I don't know. I guess wherever God leads me, that's where I go. So that's my story.
Amen. I love it. Wherever God leads me, that's where I go. So now that we got up into your business a little bit, we're going to go ahead and get started. And I'm going to stop sharing my screen so that all of the focus can be on you. And your first book, What I Gained Through My Pain. Tell us what inspired you to write that book.
Sure. So as I alluded to a little while ago, I lost my mom at a very young age. So at the age of 15, right before your sweet 16, right before high school graduation, all of like the important things that will happen in a young girl's life, I lost my mom before she can experience those things. So how I began to deal with that, I didn't really have like a women's support group in such a way, right? I guess I had women in my life, but not exactly what I needed. Like everybody wants their mama. Like y'all not my mama, I want my mama, right? So the way that I dealt with it and channeled all of my grief was writing. So I started to write journaling. I started to write poetry. I just started to get everything off of my chest, out of my mind on paper. And so that began after the loss of my mom. And it just continued through now. I'll be 49 next year. And so ever since 15 years old, 16 years old, I've just been journaling and writing. And I realized that those things that I've gone through in my life are for me to learn, but also for me to share, right? So that brought about the first book, What I Gained Through My Pain, talking about all the things that I dealt with and all the things I went through in the first half of my life. And I wanted to help other women, other young girls, even men, if you read the book, just, you know, help you go through it and learn from the pains that I've experienced in the first half of my life.
I like that. I like that because you started journaling, and I can hear, I still hear the passion in your voice right now, even talking about your mom. I still hear that, and that happened when you were 15 years old. And a lot of counselors will say you need to journal. Is that something a counselor told you, or you just did that on your own? How did that come about?
Yeah, so to be very honest, I haven't or had not seen a counselor or therapist until I became an adult. I don't know what it is or where it came from, where we are not supposed to go see therapists or, you know, when we're younger, whatever mindset that was, but I started seeing a therapist and going to counseling as an adult. As a young girl, I just had nowhere else to turn. So I
Oh.
turned up and journaling came from above. Just write it down, get it down off your mind, off your heart. Just write it down, and that's where it came from.
Was your family a religious family? Is that how, when you say you looked up, is that where you got that from?
Absolutely not. It's a crazy kind of funny story because I have tons of friends that grew up in church. They had their Easter speech, and they always had, you know, things going on. They went to Sunday school and they had their church friends or whatever. My mom actually, like I said earlier, my mom and dad were divorced. My mom had sole custody of me and my brother. And honestly, we did not start going to church until maybe a year before she passed away. So I
Wow.
was like 13, 14 years old when we actually started going to church. Now, had I been to church before? Yeah, I've been to church with my grandma and I've been to church, but actually attending church and like a regular basis, that didn't happen until I was maybe 13 or 14 years old. So I just believe that God works in mysterious ways. And even though I miss her every single day, it's been over 30 some years that she's been gone. I miss her every single day. I truly believe that he don't make no mistakes. So he took her and he saved her. And we can talk about that later. Domestic violence. He saved her from a situation, but he also was channeling me to go to him more. And that's the way he took care of that.
Wow, that's such a profound statement right there. So I know you've been given little seasonings. So let's jump into it, Nikisha. I don't want to give too much away about your book because I do want everyone to go out and buy Nikisha's book, What I Gained Through My Pain, and to buy the second part too, What I Gained After My Pain. And they're there for you to purchase. But just to get into a little bit the domestic violence part of why we're talking today, Nakisha, just give us a little seasoning of what that was like. Some of it is in your book, but tell us as a child what you witnessed.
Okay. So no relationship is perfect. We all know that friendship, romantic relationships, any ships you on, there's going to be some rocky, you know, waves or whatever in those ships, right?
Right.
However, as what I experienced growing up as a child was waking up to my mom, black eyes and bloody lips, right?
Okay.
I will also hear a lot of rumbling in the next room and a lot of screaming and crying. Even I remember at one point I might have been 6 or 7, I don't know. The police come and taking my dad away. For some reason, I don't know if my aunt called or my mom, however it happened, but I remember clearly. It's crazy how when you were a kid, we kids remember stuff. Like it stays with them. They're just little people, but they remember things. And I remember them taking my dad away in cuffs or whatever, but it was just one of those things that I learned later in life. This is what he saw my dad do, his dad do to my grandma,
Wait a minute,
right?
start again.
So what I learned later in life is
Oh.
that my dad saw this happen with his dad to my grandmother,
So you learned
right?
later in life that this was a cycle.
Exactly. So, I learned this much later in life that this is what he saw and this is what he did, 'cause that's what the example was that he had, right?
Pause right. Can we pause right there for one second?
Sure.
So you saw your dad being taken away in handcuffs, and you saw your mom with visible abuse signs. And how old were you when you saw your dad going away?
This was, I'll probably maybe seven. I would say
Okay.
7, 8 years old.
Let me ask you, when you would see these things or hear these things in the house, you would hear these things happening in the house. What would you be in your room? Would you be there try to help your mom? Kind of give us what that looked like.
Sure. So, like I said, it was me and my brother. I have a younger brother. And I would always be the one to run to my mom and try to block her, like block the abuse or whatever. And I've never been hit by my father, right? He's never abused me, never hit me. So I've always, would try to block from her being hit, but sometimes I get there late and it already happened or whatever. And to be very honest, I don't believe that any person, woman, whatever relationship should be abused. But I don't know what brought on this abuse. Was it something that triggered him from his childhood and seeing his mom do it? Or, she, made him mad or, I have no idea. All I know is that I wanted it to stop, right? I really wanted it to stop. So, I would hear it, I would run to the room, or I remember, it's crazy how you remember things, right? It comes to your memory. I remember me and my brother out playing, and I come in the house and they're in the bathroom, and I run in the bathroom and try to shield her and just all these different things that was very traumatic, and still today is still tr traumatic. Like
I hear it.
I can't even watch, if you're on Facebook or something and like a video may come up of someone fighting, I can't watch that. Or if I hear a loud noise at my neighbor's house, they may be having a party, but it sounds to me like they're fighting because that's my filter. That's what I hear, So it's just a whole lot with that. And I say that because I want people to know, like it does carry on to your adult life.
Sounds like some post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD, that happens because you're hearing that and things can trigger you. That's very profound. When you were as a child in school, did you think any of your parents, not parents, teachers notice? Did any teachers talk with you or did you confide anyone? What was school like, if anything was different?
I did not speak to any teachers. I did not talk to any teachers. However, my mom was a if you remember the term bank teller at the bank where you go in and you now it's ATM, so you go up to the machine or you go through drive-through, whatever. But actual bank tellers when you go inside and you do your transactions. So I can only imagine her having to stand there and do her job. And I know she's missed a lot of days. So I remember her missing a lot of days because she didn't want to stand in front of a crowded bank of people. Not even, looking like she should look. You know what I mean? So all those things I clearly remember.
That is one of the things on the eight before it's too late on the slide that I shared. It says if your job is being jeopardized, that is one because you said she had to call off a lot. Wow. Wow, that is definitely on there. Okay. So that was, I'm sure, very embarrassing for your mom. Very embarrassing for your mom as and did kids tease you at all or anything like that?
So that's another thing too, and it's in my book as well. I don't recall or remember. I'm not saying I never did. I don't recollect or recall having any company over, having any sleepovers or anything of that nature. I don't remember. So I never had like friends over. I had friends over that we would like the girl down the street would jump double dutch, right? Or something like that. But like kids actually came over and had dinner. Now I went to everybody's house and I had dinner at so-and-so's house. I can name some of my high school kids that I used to, or childhood friends that I would visit and everything. But that didn't happen at my house. I didn't have very many guests over. So,
Okay.
yeah.
It was because, and you were a child then, but do you think it was because your dad wouldn't allow it or your mom was embarrassed or, what do you,
It
what?
was a multitude of things, and if you read the book, you'll get all everything. It was a multitude of things. So it wasn't just the domestic violence. It was a whole lot of other stuff. So yeah.
Okay. So coming into your adult life, having experienced domestic violence, seeing it through the eyes of a child, and then your mom passes away. What are some of the things that you can share with the audience now about how you overcame that, or because it's still with you, I can tell, but what do you rely on as your strength to make sure that cycle is broken with you and your children?
Sure. So I am 1000% like open with my children. You know, back in the day growing up, it's like what goes on in this house stays in this house. And, you know, you don't be in the room with adults or whatever. I still believe in that a little bit because there are some conversations adults have that children shouldn't be allowed in. Right. At the same time, the only way kids are open with you and learn from you is if they talk to you and they're with you and they see, you know, you interacting and things of that nature. So I don't shut them out. You know, I was shut out a lot because of all of that. They didn't want, even though I saw it and I heard it, but you know, they tried to shut me out because that's not something a child should be exposed to. However, with me, I'm about to say something really funny. So because of my experiences and because of what I went through as a child, I've been married twice. Mm-hmm. And I've been divorced twice. That's where the first two came from. First marriage, second boys came from second marriage. So in counseling, because we did go to counseling before marriage, I said, hey, listen, I saw my mom get abused. If you live and look like you're going to abuse me, you're not going to wake up in the morning. I promise you. I was like, I am not living that life. I am not exposing my children to that life. I refuse to. I have come too far from that. And with writing and journaling and just, you know, channeling myself to a higher power and tuning into God and Jesus and everything. And I told both of them, I said, listen, you can try it if you want to. But I promise you, it will not turn out the way you want it to turn out. So I was dead serious on that, and I haven't had that problem. Now, am I the biggest, you know, baddest, you know, girl that can fight it? No, but I just wanted to make that clear. Like, I've been through that, and I'm not going to go through with my children.
You refuse to be a victim. You
refuse. Absolutely. So I think that even if you are 100% scared and I don't know why would you be with somebody you're scared of, but at the same time, you just gotta find the energy or find the power in you to say, look, this is what it is and this is what it's gonna be. And I'm not, this is my standard, right? And I'm not going, this is my boundary and I'm not gonna go over that, you know? And that person has to respect that. And if they don't, then you need to leave.
I like that. And someone put in the chat, you set boundaries at the beginning. You set your boundaries at the beginning and they love that. That was from Ryan.
Thank you.
That was. So going through what you went through, and you mentioned that you had a brother, your brother.
Mm-hmm.
How did your brother deal with all of this, with everything that was going on?
He is such an introvert. He is such an introvert to where I believe he's just still holding it in. Like, he's suppressed it so much. It's not even in his mind anymore. It doesn't come to his mind anymore because he's just forgot it all. Like, you know, to be very honest, him and my dad have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Me and my dad don't, right? Even today, we don't. And for multiple reasons, not just for the domestic, but it's stuff that has gone on for years and years and years and years, you know? And I love him from a distance and I just pray for him all the time, you know? Okay. And I just leave it at that. You know, I let, you know, God handle what he's going to handle. And I handle what I can handle, right? I don't go over and step on God's toes. So I just think that he suppressed it. I just think that he doesn't deal with it like I deal with it. And I don't know if that's a man and a woman thing, a male and a female thing, how we deal with things versus how a man or a male deals with things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think that if he has, I don't know. I'm just speculating on what I believe.
Okay. And seeing what you went through, and in the book, you do talk about your mom did pass away. And just for the listeners on the call, Your dad did not murder your mom. That was
correct.
But she did die from an aneurysm, you stated.
Correct.
consumerism. And what are your thoughts on that?
So, again, I was 15, so I didn't really understand aneurysm or all the medical stuff, right? But as I got older and I began to research it and find out more about it, because I want to make sure and know if it was hereditary. You know, I wanted to know if it had some, if it was like, you know, something that would pass down to me and my daughters. You know, now I have daughters, right? And just let you know, to find to what I did find, that is not completely hereditary, but you do have a risk of having it because someone else in your family has had it, but it's not hereditary, right? So it's just a, like a slight risk of you may maybe. But I forgot your question.
The aneurysm, not okay. It's a lot to unpack. The aneurysm, and that's in the brain, and that's like a blood clot breaking
That
loose
burst,
in
yeah.
the brain. Was your mom a victim of domestic violence during that time?
She was, well, let me go back. So, was this in the book? I can't remember if this part is in the book, but they divorced. My dad and mom divorced. And I might have been 9, 10 years old when they divorced.
Okay.
And but they were high school sweethearts. My mom had me when she was 20. So right out of high school and got a job and everything, she gave birth to me, and then 2 years later gave birth to my brother. And they got married as soon before I was born or what have you. So they have been together since high school and everything. So maybe I was 9 or 10, I think, when they got divorced. But when I was 14, they rekindled.
Okay.
Right, they started talking again, started going out again. We even spent Christmas together as a family the year before she passed. Now, she passed in January of 1992, and we spent Christmas together in December of 1991. So it was just a few weeks later after Christmas that God called her home. So they were very much in love, very much high school sweethearts, very much, you know, wanted to get the family back together and everything. However, that wasn't something I wanted.
Oh, and you could do you talk more about that in the book?
Yes.
Okay. You
Yes.
didn't want them to get back together. You seen things before as a kid, and so now the PTSD, you're replaying it. You don't want to see it. So that's very interesting and very raw, because as adults, I'm gonna do what I want to do, and a lot of times we don't take into consideration what the children think and
And going back to that, when you asked me about now having kids, like I consider them wholeheartedly with everything, because I believe that God gave them to me. They belong to Him, but God gave me these children and entrusted me with their mental, their physical, their spiritual. I am here to guide them on the right road to where they need to go, right? It says in the Bible, you know, train up a child, right? That's what you're su supposed to do. And if you are totally discrediting your children's thoughts, feelings, or whatever, you're just gonna do what you want to do. No judgment. Hey, that's you. Do what you do. For me and my household, I don't do that. Like, if it's something going on with my children and something is not right, that's probably why I'm single. They absolutely come first, because these are my babies that God has entrusted in me to raise them, and I need to raise them correctly. And so you need whoever I, if I'm single for the rest of my life or I happen to be with somebody, we gotta make that, you know, decision and take that into consideration, because that is my ultimate job as a parent.
I like that. One question in the chat says, what you went through, did it make you as a child make you more aggressive? Did it make you more aggressive, or did you take a more passive route in relationships?
It definitely made me more passive. It made me more passive. I think it made me more aggressive as an adult, but definitely growing up and being a young adult, like in my 20s and starting to date and everything, I really didn't like voice my opinion on things, even though I may have saw red flags in some of the relationships I was in. I wouldn't speak up as much. I wouldn't say anything. Not that I was scared that they was gonna do something to me. It was just that I have been so tuned into writing. I didn't speak, I wrote, right? So if something happened in a relationship, I didn't say anything to the person, I wrote it down. You know, I would go journal it. I would just, that was my outlet instead of confronting it. So my communication was horrible. You know, that's me, right? But as I got older and realized that I need to nip it in the bud or confront the person or work it out or whatever the case may be in that situation, then I did become more aggressive. When it started talking about marriage, like I said, like this is what I went through, whatever. Yeah, I got really, really aggressive. But just like dating and stuff, I was really, really passive.
Okay, but you didn't experience any more. You didn't experience domestic violence in those relationships.
Oh no. Oh no.
So
No.
that's okay. That's
Yeah,
something
no.
I like.
No.
And so, as we wrap it up here, a lot of nuggets are in your book, and you talk about your book. You talk about your mom, your dad, and you talk about other things in your life as life went forward. What would be some tips that you would say for people, for young women right now that you would give to them if they see any of those red flags? What would you say to them?
Do not ignore them. As much as we are nurturers, as much as we want to be loved and we want to be with someone, we want, just the company of a man or, a companion or whatever. The red flags are there for a reason, right? Do not ignore those flags. Whatever, it could be the smallest thing. Confront it. Get it, on the table. It may be a misunderstanding, right? The person may have done something to trigger you and they don't even know it's a trigger. You know, communicate, talk about everything. If this is someone that you are married to, engaged to, are thinking of marrying, you have to communicate. You have to communicate, and not only communicate to be heard, but also communicate and listen. Because that person as well may have triggers that you're triggering them, and then they trigger you, and then nothing gets resolved. So listen, communicate, comprehend, and just get everything out on the table.
Okay. And if they don't, one of the things that we hear about domestic violence is the person will the abuser will often say, "I'm gonna change. I promise you I'm gonna change. It's not gonna happen again." You know, and you're trying to say, "Okay, I'm gonna give them one more chance. I'm gonna give them one more chance." But what would you say about that, thinking about your childhood and now?
Me, Nakisha,
Yeah.
James, you got one time to put your hands on me, and that's it. One time, and I'm done. I will love you from a distance. I will pray for you. I will help you get into treatment or whatever it is I can do as a human being, But as far as relationship wise, I'm not gonna let you get that close to me because me right now, I have little people to take care of and little people that look up to me. You're not going to take my life because of whatever situation or childhood trauma, whatever you got going on, and leave my kids here without their mom. So you got one time with me. And because God forgives us, I will forgive you. I will still help you. I will still love you from a distance. I will pray for you. I will do all those things. But in the Bible, it says to love, it don't say to be a fool. It does not say that. It says you are supposed to love. You are supposed to help when you can. You're supposed to serve, but it does not say that person has to have access to you. It does not say that in the Bible.
All right.
So you will not have access to me in that way.
Love, don't be no fool. That's a t-shirt, Nakisha. I got
Look, you got a person? Get that shirt for me. Love you, but I ain't no fool. No.
I like it.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up, I just want to thank you again and just kind of go over some of these red flags because your mom actually went through these. She was about when They were high school sweethearts. So that young age, 20 is the age of about third of women become victims of dating violence. Not saying mom did, but this is just some statistics, you know. Also, jeopardizing your job, that person's job. That's what they'll try to do, embarrass you. So your mom went to work with these bruises and things on her face. And I don't, you know, it's just something to think about. These are some red flags to think about. They're also threatening to hurt you or harm your children, your family. Those are all threats that they'll make against you. Jeopardizes your education, withholds affection, things like this. And know before it's too late. And the other thing I wanted to talk about that you had mentioned, but it's escaping me right now, but I wanted to show your books again on what you have published, and they're on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited. And you have done a remarkable job. You know, if you could, Nakisha, and I know you go through this all the time, and I know you're on other talk shows and you may talk about this. If you could say something to your mom right now that you would just want her to know, what would that be?
That I turned out just the way she wanted me to. That she raised a strong black woman that don't take no mess from nobody. that she the 15 years we had. She did an awesome job.
Yes, she did. She did. You are awesome, my dear. You are strong. You are awesome. And as Zuma is on here, our guest from last week, she has a shirt that says, "I am the shit. I'm the shit." And that's
I like that.
yes. So again, I thank you so much for joining, for having this discussion, for laying it on the line, being raw with your feelings and your emotions. And I'm also it's very emotional, you know. But thank you so much. I hope the audience enjoyed it. And remember that you all can get in touch with Nakisha. She is ready to be your public speaker, caterer to sign books. You can find her on Instagram at Pain for Purpose. And we're going to wrap it up today. Thank you so much, Nakisha, and God bless you. And we'll have you back on to talk about your second book.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thank
Thank you, everybody.
you all. Have a good night. Bye bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.